Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Tuesday, February the 7th, and welcome to our commentary. Well, today, of course, is the State of the Union. It's going to happen in a few hours. So we're going to try to give you some expectations about the State of the Union, and then we'll get into more specifics and later on, you know, the next day or the next couple of days. We'll look at what the president actually said and what we think of it. But of course, the State of the Union is a tradition that goes back to the founding of the Republic, although for a long time, the State of the Union was in writing. Usually the president would send in writing a letter or a memo or something to the leaders of Congress saying, this is the State of the Union. And that's the way it was. That's the way it was for a long, long time. I don't remember when it was first done in person. I think it may have been President Truman or maybe President Eisenhower who began the tradition of doing it in person and with a speech and television. And then it really became what we know of today with President Reagan. It was President Reagan who shortly after the assassination attempt gave a speech to Congress. And he located people in the audience and pointed out people in the audience. And that kind of became a Reagan signature. You know, he started doing that. And in every one of his eight addresses, two-term president, in each and every one of them, he would point out somebody in the audience normally sitting next to the first lady. And he would highlight a particular person, sometimes more than one person. And that's kind of what began this tradition that we now have, where the president will have somebody sitting next to the first lady or somebody sitting up in the presidential section, if you will, and the president points out to them. So that kind of began with President Reagan and has been followed by every president ever since. The idea of having special citizen guests, you know, sitting with the first lady. It's a nice tradition, no question about it. And, you know, we've had it for now almost 40 years. Over the years, I don't really remember any great presidential State of the Union addresses. They tend to, you know, you hear them and then they're very fast because as the more political that the speeches become, and that's what it is right now, a political speech. So the addresses have become, the less likely that they're going to turn into anything, because you got to take the speech and then put it through the filter of the Congress, and that's a very difficult thing to do. So tonight, you know, you're going to see something like that. Now, I do remember a couple of lines from the State of the Union. I remember when President Ford, some of you remember President Ford, he followed President Nixon. When President Nixon resigned, he became president. So some of you remember President Ford, and you may remember in a State of the Union in 1975, when the country was in a bit of a recession, that President Ford started his State of the Union by saying, the State of the Union is not good. It's the only time I've ever heard a president say that. The State of the Union is not good. That was Ford in 1975. The other time when that I can remember State of the Union was I think it was, President Reagan, I believe in 83 or 84, when he spoke about a new federalism, meaning returning more power to the states type of argument. And I remember that one. That was very effective on the part of President Reagan, who was very effective in these addresses. I mean, I think some have been good, but President Reagan in particular was very effective, not just because I liked him, but I just thought he was very effective in the art of communicating. They called him, of course, the great communicator. Now, tonight, President Biden will speak to a bitterly divided nation. Let's make that very clear. We are a divided nation. In fact, there was an article here recently about how the country, if you live in a red state, you're becoming more red. If you live in a blue state, you're becoming more blue. That is what's happening in the country. Instead of coming together, we're growing more blue or more red, depending on where you live. So that's the country that he's going to be speaking to. And I'll give you two examples of how we're becoming more red or more blue. Abortion. If you live in a blue state, you are going to have abortion on demand, as we just saw in Minnesota, where they wrote an abortion law that pretty much allows abortion at any moment in the pregnancy. I mean, it's amazing. No restrictions whatsoever on abortion. I think they have the same thing in California and something similar like that in New York. If you live in a red state, you are going to have some restrictions on abortion, whether it's 10 weeks, 12 weeks, 15 weeks, whatever the restrictions. But you're not going to have late-term abortion. So the country is bitterly divided on the topic of abortion. Also, public schools. If you live in a blue state, the public schools are going to dominate, and the influence of the teachers' union is going to be huge. If you live in a red state, you're going to see more and more of a movement towards school choice, as we're seeing here in Texas, as we just saw in Iowa, as I think in Nebraska, Florida, Oklahoma, Utah. More and more of the so-called red states are moving in the direction of school choice. So this is the country that President Biden is speaking to, a very divided country. And you will see that during the speech itself. When he makes a remark, you'll see the Democrats get up and applaud, and the Republicans won't say anything. And that's just that's the reality of the situation in the country. So President Biden comes to the nation tonight. He's got a tough sale to make because he's going to try to tell us that the economy is doing great, that the last jobs report confirms that everything is doing great. Well, it was a good jobs report. I don't deny that. But as we're starting to see now, as we get more into the numbers, that it wasn't quite as good as it appears, that it wasn't so much that we are creating new jobs as it was people coming back into the job market from the pandemic. He also has the problem of inflation. Inflation, of course, is the killer. Inflation kills the middle class. And more, now you're starting to see the price of gasoline go up. So President Biden has a very difficult message tonight, very difficult sale to make, because he's got to tell you that things are doing just fine. But they're not. They're not. They're not doing fine. The fact is that we have some serious economic problems, some interest rates up in the next few weeks. And so, you know, he's going to have to make a very difficult sale. I also think that President Biden's, his biggest problem, I think, is he doesn't quite understand how divided the country is. You know, if he understood that, then he would try to govern more from the middle and try to bring both sides to the room and say, hey, guys, let's get something done. You know, what do you need? What do you need? And let's try to meet in the middle and get something done. This was the way, by the way, that Joe Biden was sold to the American people. He was the great negotiator, the guy who had spent 50 years in Congress and who knew how to get deals done. That's not what his presidency has been like. In fact, his presidency has been one of extremes, where he has been catering to the left wing of the Democrat Party and basically moving too much in that direction at the expense of unity in the country. So he's got a tough job. He's got a very difficult job in this State of the Union. I don't think he's going to, frankly, make it. He's not known as a great speech deliverer. He's not known as a great communicator. He has actually problems, especially here lately, the last few years. He's had problems when he is reading from the teleprompter and trying to stay on track. I mean, look, he is 81 years old. I mean, so that is taking its toll on his delivery. So I don't expect great things out of this speech tonight. I think it'll be an okay speech. I don't expect any big things to come out of this. And at the end of the night, I don't think much is going to change because of the speech. It looks to me like the House is pretty much committed to whatever they're going to do. The Senate is 51-49, but it's not really 51-49 because you got to take Senator Manchin into consideration. And Manchin, Senator Manchin of West Virginia, I think he's going to have a very difficult time supporting a lot of the Democrat policies because they just don't go over in West Virginia. So I think overall it won't be much of a speech. But again, let's hear it. Let's give the man an opportunity to chat tonight. And we will give you a more specific analysis of the speech tomorrow, Wednesday or Thursday. We may even have a couple of guests to talk to about the speech. So State of the Union, Tuesday night from Washington, D.C. Just a quick note on this day in history, 1964. The Beatles arrived in New York. This was their first trip to the United States as a group. And they arrived at the airport in New York, I think JFK by that time already. And they arrived in New York, and of course, a couple of days later, they went to the Ed Sullivan Show. So the Beatles got to America on this day in 1964, so that's, what, 59 years ago today. Of course, only two of the Beatles are still around, Paul and Ringo. Jim, of course, was killed back in 1980, and George Harrison passed away from cancer in 2001. So the Beatles arrived in America, the beginning of Beatlemania, as they like to call it. Thank you for watching. Have a wonderful evening. And we'll tell you more about the State of the Union in the next couple of days. Bye-bye, everybody. This is...